Today is April 26, 2007. This is Jennifer Payne, and I'm here with Mrs. Betty Golden Holloway for the Brooklyn Oral History Project in conjunction with UNC Charlotte and Special Collections at Atkins Library. We are using the Etterall No. 1 digital recorder. Good morning, Mrs. Holloway. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking part in this project.
You're
really
more than welcome.
We appreciate you having us over to your house today. I'd like to start by just asking you really broadly, what are some of your favorite memories of growing up in the Brooklyn community?
I would say some of my memories are the close-knit neighborhood family relations we had. Whereas, unlike today, you were concerned about your neighbor. The neighbors did look out for children or gave you advice that would be good for you. And no, the children did not talk back to them. You know, it was more respect. It was, I think sometimes the concern was out of love and caring. Because some of them would have seen you grow up and maybe give you some advice. And that's some of the memories. And some of the other memories are the school and the friends you collected and the friends you had and the sports that we watched and enjoyed. That and just knowing what the neighborhood would expect of you and what you could get from the neighborhood. The families, the children, the churches, the stores, the whole atmosphere.
So you feel like the community really sort of provided support for you. While you were growing up. Giving you guidance and that sort of thing.
You felt safe. You felt secure. Because you knew that if your mom wasn't there, or in some cases if your dad wasn't there, you felt secure just being surrounded by your neighborhood. You could go and say, this is happening at my house, or I don't feel well, or so on. So somebody would tell you something. And it's not a matter of being nosy, or it's just a matter of caring.
So a lot of the, you know, the newspaper articles and the city council records from this period say over and over again that Brooklyn was a dangerous place, right? That it was crime-ridden.
All places are dangerous. It depends on how you can adjust or adapt to it. There were some areas that were dangerous, there's some areas now in Myers Park that are dangerous. Crime doesn't pick its places, you know, it just happens. So no, it wasn't all that dangerous. Of course, if you were in a place where you knew danger existed, then if you didn't want to be part of it, you just didn't go there. You just try to evade that, you know. So I don't think it was really that dangerous. I think that was probably in the minds of those who either didn't live there or, and it couldn't have been so dangerous if we were about two or three blocks of the police station.
That's right.
Have been the jail. How dangerous could you be?
You're right there.
Right.
So you lived on 3rd Street, just a couple of blocks from 2nd Ward, right?
Absolutely.
Tell me about your a regular day, school day for you.
Well, we get to school. Of course, we had a schedule just like the kids have now, where you went to class and you stay there until I think school was out at like 3 o'clock. And then during the day, you had, of course, your regular classes and you had a lunch hour. And if you took extracurricular activities, you did that either after school or during that school. Like I was in dramatics. And we would do our rehearsals after school, and maybe during that period where we had that class. I was also in the band for a while. I was a majorette. I was in a lot of programs, whereas I did the speaking parts. I was in drama, as I said. But that was our school day. At lunchtime, the cafeteria was right crowded. So we sat outside when the weather, you know, was there for us. If the weather was good, especially in the springtime, we'd be sitting out like now. This is wonderful. Then after that, we just came home. There were no school buses. There was no busing because you went to school in your own neighborhood. And as I said, we only had two schools. That was West Charlotte and 2nd Ward. So if you lived in Brooklyn, you went to 2nd Ward. If you lived in Biddleville, you went to West Charlotte. There were those who sometimes would ride the bus to West Charlotte, because they felt that that's where they would rather be, you know.
Why would they feel that way, that they would rather be in West Charlotte?
Some kids had the idea that West Charlotte was better.
Hmm. Just because it was newer?
Somewhat. It was a little newer. And then that was another side of town.
Mm-hmm.
Another side of town. But we didn't have that many. Most people lived in Brooklyn, went to Second Ward.
Right.
Went to Second Ward.
And so how would you describe the atmosphere at Second Ward? Was it very supportive? I know it was a very large school.
It was large and overcrowded,
mm-hmm.
because, as I said, that was the only school in
mm-hmm.
the area.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was supportive. I think the teachers really cared whether you learned.
Mm-hmm.
I think they cared not only whether you learned their lesson, but how you acted on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They wanted you to be, and people, kids respected teachers then.
Right.
They had more respect for them. A teacher walked in a room, the class is quiet,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think they were very supportive, not only how you did in school, but when you got out of school. They were concerned whether you went to college or what you were going to do. They were even concerned if you didn't come to school for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you come? Where have you been? Have you been sick?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So they'd call home and check
yeah,
in on you.
If those, to those who had telephones.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you got a letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. And sometimes those who wanted to quit would quit, which if they would, they weren't stagnant. Then there were some fellows who would just come to play sports during that season.
Mm-hmm.
And they were allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachers were concerned.
Right.
I think they were greatly concerned.
And so it sounds like, I mean, if you had the desire to succeed at that school, then
yes.
they gave you every opportunity.
Every opportunity.
Right, right.
And I think we had pretty good teachers. You know, I really do. I think we learned the basic curriculum, and I think it was taught well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them went on to college, or those who could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have the grants and all the things that they have now. You know, you try to get a scholarship if at all possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Would you stay in the same class all day with the same teacher, or did you move between
classes?
Oh, no,
we changed classes.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, we changed classes. We would change class. We'd go to homeroom to be checked in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you took your schedule and you followed your schedule all day.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot like it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Much. Who were some of the teachers that you remember?
We had a chemistry teacher, Mr. Levi. We had a biology teacher, Mr. Brown, Ed Brown. And we had the home ec teacher, Mrs. Carson. We had English teachers, Mrs. Byers and Mrs. Adair.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a Bible teacher, Dr. Mildred Davis, Baxter Davis. And then we had sewing teacher, Mrs. Flagg. Of course, our principal was Mr. Grigsby.
Mm-hmm. And what do you remember about him?
Well, he was a real nice principal. I didn't see him as really being a strict man,
mm-hmm.
but I think he had others to carry out his orders.
I see.
You understand?
Right.
I think he was like a homebody mm-hmm. man. You know, he cared about you, but he had other folks to carry out whatever punishments
right.
were there.
So did he interact with the students a lot? Did you see him, you know, and talk to him a lot, or was he...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes. Well, of course... you know, by that being on the school, there was a lot of kids there, so I'm sure he had a lot to deal with.
I'm sure.
He had his staff.
Yeah. Right. And before we started the interview, you were talking to me a little bit about books.
The books being passed down.
Mm-hmm.
Not only books, but uniforms, band uniforms, the athletic uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
They were just passed down.
Mm-hmm.
They were just hand-me-down books.
And they would get handed down from the white schools.
Sure.
And then brought to Second Ward.
Absolutely.
Where you would have to rent them.
Absolutely.
And then pay for any damages.
Any damages you had to pay for.
And how did they determine how much they were going to charge you for these
I don't
damages?
Know who made that determination. I guess in the front of the book, they had, maybe they have it now,
mm-hmm.
when you get the book, the condition it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they would write, you put your name on it, and they would maybe put A, B, C, or D, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they determine the book. Naturally, they wouldn't be new, so whatever damage, I don't know who made the determination as to what the value of it that had to be repaid because of damages.
Right. I'd like to talk a little bit about extracurricular activities, because it sounds like you were involved in some pretty interesting things.
I was.
The drama, for one thing.
Yeah.
So you had a class in drama.
We had a class in drama. That was part of the credits that you had.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have all the classes like they have now. You just took your basic English, history, math, and English, and English, I believe. And then, you know, every year you took those things, along with physical ed on choral or drama or band or whatever. Those were the extracurricular. I was just in drama. Drama, and while I was in the band for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a little majorette, but that didn't last long because I found other things to do.
Right, right. And so as a majorette, you would go to football games?
Oh, yeah, we'd go to football games and just march around. We didn't. Only time you marched downtown was the Queen City Classic, and that was the highlight of the football season.
Right.
They would have young ladies from each school vying to be Miss Queen City Classic. That was not a popularity contest. That was based on the tickets you sold.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so you would have to sell tickets to the football
game. Yes, yes.
And whoever sold the most.
Yes.
Well, that's great. That's a very democratic way to do it, isn't it?
Absolutely. But now I think you're selected by the football team, I think.
Oh, I see.
I think so that's how it is now. Yeah.
Well, what was the Queen City Classic? We know that was a football game between West Charlotte and Second Ward every year.
Right.
What was it like? Did they have... You know, now in high schools they have this weekly leading up to homecoming or big football games, and they call it Spirit Week, and they have different activities. Was the Queen City Classic just a one-day event, or did they celebrate it for longer than that?
They prepared for it all week,
mm-hmm.
and they may have plans may have been in the making longer before.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to the big day, then you may have had, maybe that Friday, we may have had a pep rally in school.
Right.
Okay, we may have had... I remember the football team being fed by the home ec department, and I took part in that. But the big day was the parade.
Mm-hmm.
The parade. The schools would meet. They would have parades, and they may have other people. They had the football things on the float. They have the young lady who was vying on a float, and they would ride through. Actually, they rode through the square at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the square... Right up, you know where the square is now.
Mm-hmm, I do.
That was the highlight of the parade. That's where everybody did the show-off stuff. You know, if you got anything to show off or whatever, that's where you did your thing.
So what would they do? They would dance?
And they wouldn't do like they did now. They would just play, and
the
majorettes would strut.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they would have, the band would have formation
okay.
out there, you know. But that was the highlight of it. And naturally, all the families came out to watch this parade because they wanted to see your school, they want to see your school, how well it was represented.
Right.
And then they wanted to see their classmates who were there to, you know, to show off their stuff.
Right. Was the parade, was that the same day as the football game?
Yes.
So they would do the parade first?
Yeah.
And then everybody would go to the football game?
And the football game would be at night at Memorial Stadium.
At Memorial Stadium,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it always packed? Was it?
It was always crowded because, you see, neighborhoods would come.
Right.
The whole generation of people who had gone before would come. That's showing school spirit. So the people from West Charlotte would come and boost their team and their band. And, of course, halftime on the football field was where everybody wanted to see who was playing and who was doing this and that.
Right.
So it was like more or less a competitive thing.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
Yeah, it was crowded. It was
between
crowded.
The bands, you mean, at halftime?
The band, between the bands and the football game, the football players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was the night of competition.
Right. And was it pretty good natured between West Charlotte and Second Ward, or would you say it was a pretty serious rivalry?
It could get serious.
Yeah.
It could get serious. Well, the whole thing sometimes was like a rivalry thing. Like the fellas used to say that Brooklyn boys could go to West Charlotte to visit girls, and the guys from West Charlotte couldn't come to Brooklyn to visit girls. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but
right.
It has been rumored that way.
Yeah. I had, I interviewed Mary Poe last week, and she was telling me that one of her memories about the Queen City Classic is that they would get a casket from one of the funeral homes.
Oh, really? I hadn't seen that one.
And dress somebody up in the West Charlotte colors. You didn't see that, though?
Well, that was probably after my time. She's younger than I am.
Okay.
She's younger than I am.
So that's great. So that's the Queen City Classic, and the football players, I guess, were the big stars of this.
Oh yeah, they were the big stars, and every school had their own star. Uh-huh. The running star, the quarterback, the linebacker, whatever.
Right.
Everybody had their own star, and the highlight of the evening was when they crowned Miss Queen City.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, would Miss Queen City, did she have duties that she had to do outside of that, or I mean, like, would she reign for an entire year? And
no, you know, after
it
was
just one day.
It was just over.
One day you get a crown, and you're done.
That's it. That's it to the next time.
Yeah, but it's pretty elaborate though. From the pictures that I've seen of Miss Ely, you know, I mean, she's really dressed up, and she's got the crown, and you know, the huge bouquet of flowers.
Well, I think she was the first one.
Right. Okay.
So naturally, when you're doing something the first time, mm-hmm. it's more polished. Mm-hmm, and of course, mm-hmm. sometimes as it grows and it gets better and better and better.
Right.
But she was the first one.
Do you know if these girls had strategies for selling the most tickets? I mean,
no, I don't. No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know about that. Okay. I don't know how that goes. I would think that the parents or families and stuff would help with that. If you decided to, but I don't think they had any criteria as to who could really run. If you sold tickets, you just sold tickets.
Right.
It wasn't a beauty contest.
Right.
Okay. So if you sold tickets, you just sold the most tickets.
Getting people at the
Absolutely.
Game, right?
That's marketing.
That's right.
That's what they call it now. Marketing.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you were a majorette and you were in drama as well.
Oh, yeah, I was in drama a lot.
Did you perform plays? Did you perform plays for the neighborhood?
No, not the neighborhood, just in school.
Just for the school?
Yeah, okay. Just in school.
Do you remember what some of the plays that you put on were?
One, I think, was the Taggart Sisters. That was the last one. Mm-hmm. That may have been my senior play. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure right now.
You did this all the way through high school?
No, I only got it in 11th and 12th grade.
Okay.
Other times I didn't do a lot of extracurricular stuff.
You just focused on the school.
Yeah, I did the biology and the chemistry.
Well, that's hard. That'll keep you from...
Well, after biology I had to, chemistry I chose. Uh-huh. But then after I chose chemistry, I realized I made an error.
Right.
And the same man taught physics. And I felt that I had spent enough time with him. And he'd spent enough time with me. I didn't need any more.
I understand. Of him. Chemistry.
Yeah.
I just knew I was in the wrong place.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't flunk out. You know, I didn't flunk it, but I could have found a thousand better places I would rather have been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were there sports teams for the girls at Second Ward?
Oh, yeah, they had a basketball team.
Okay. And they would go to other schools and play, or was it just an intramural in Second Ward?
No, they played. They went on tournaments.
Okay.
They played against West Charlotte, and there was another school in the county called Plato Price, and mm-hmm. then there was one mm-hmm. called Clear Creek. Mm-hmm. I think Clear Creek was out this way, I believe. But they played. They had a basketball team. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find, if I could put my hand on my book, but I know. I guess I can. Hold on a minute. Let me show you a yearbook.
Sure. Can you pause it with the door? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'll ask. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mr. Holloway, your wife told us that you were a jazz musician.
Yeah.
That's very, very interesting. Did you play in this area, or did you travel all over and play?
Well, my playing has been local prior to coming to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I was primarily a teacher and band director.
Mm-hmm.
In the school center.
Right. That's very interesting. I was telling Mrs. Holloway that jazz is something that I really like, but I would be so scared to talk to you about it because I don't know if I would actually be able to say enough about it.
I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
Here's the yearbook. Here's the famous yearbook.
Oh, great!
The tiger.
Okay.
Here's the famous. Let me see if I can see some sport, folks.
You want to? Yeah. Thank you. So Miss Holloway has her yearbook now. It's called The Tiger from Second Ward High School. And we're looking for some of the sports. And they've got a picture in here of the football team, which is very large, actually. There's probably about 30 guys in that team. It's a big team. There's a girls basketball team. Cheerleaders. They've got 5 cheerleaders. A boys basketball team. The Majorettes. Are you in this picture?
No, I'm not in that one. I got no. They put me up.
The band council. The marching band is also very large. Dance orchestra. What was this dance orchestra? They would just play for the dances that they would have at school?
Some of them. It was just a class. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that much playing anywhere.
I see.
Maybe for a school party or something, but I don't think they released out.
Okay. So there are some really great pictures in here. This is the food laboratory beginning class, and there's a picture of Mrs. Holloway here, Betty Golden, it says. Yeah. And so was this the home economics class?
That was the advanced home ec.
Mm-hmm. So from there,
we didn't have that many courses to take, so mm-hmm. some kids just took something over and they made advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's right. How they did that.
What kind of thing would you learn in there in the advanced class?
Basic cooking and setting mm-hmm. a table and how to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
serve from one left or something, pick up from your right, whatever. I may have it wrong. Whatever.
I'm not sure which one it is, but yeah. So, and the chorus, and there's bands. So it seems like there were really a lot of opportunities to develop whatever kind of talents and skills you had there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you notice, there's a woodwork.
This is a machine shop here.
Yeah.
And masonry.
Yes.
This was an interesting thing, too, I think, because it's not something they're doing anymore
mm-hmm.
in schools.
I know.
Giving people trades.
Now I think you would have to take it in one of the vocational schools.
Right. Right,
yeah.
Community college or something.
Absolutely.
Like that, right.
And there's a journalism.
This is very interesting. A journalism class. Mm-hmm. All those aspiring young journalists. Once you left school for the day, what would you do for fun? Let's say
we go home and do our homework.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a disc jockey that came on in the afternoon when we got off called Genial Gene Potts.
Okay.
And he was the first black disc jockey. And he would come on during the time, and everybody would rush home to get him. What was so amazing about him was he had the ability to rhyme,
mm-hmm.
to rhyme, make rhymes out of everything, you know. And then he would have the dedications.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would dedicate my song to my boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe a bunch of girls will say this is played for them or something like that. That was the highlight. I think he stayed on from three until four maybe,
mm-hmm.
but it was junior, and it was on WGIV,
mm-hmm.
and that was a highlight and people rushing to get home, and then they would do their homework. Some people worked out, maybe in the hospitals, or some fellas worked in little stores, but the jobs weren't available. We could not work downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't go and work in Crest or Grants. Or, matter of fact, we couldn't even eat downtown.
Right.
So those who didn't, just sometimes they had to go home and take care of your little brother and sister. Or sisters, if the family worked, it was your responsibility to take care of them.
When you say you couldn't eat downtown, do you mean that
you weren't served?
Right. At all?
No.
At all?
No,
there wasn't
even
separate dining rooms?
No.
And that was at Crest's and at
Belk's? And Grants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Belk's didn't have... I don't know whether they had a restaurant then, but it was the main eating places was Crest right on the corner,
mm-hmm.
and Grant's was another Five and Dime down the street. Mm-hmm. But they weren't served you.
Mm-hmm. And so, I guess that the only thing you could really do is just eat in Brooklyn neighborhood, right?
That's right.
What kind of restaurants were there in Brooklyn?
Well, we had one around the corner called the El Chico. That was a very nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was owned by Mr. Ames Ingram,
mm-hmm.
and he had a real nice restaurant that sold down home cooking, you would call it. Now we would call it soul food,
mm-hmm.
okay, and very clean.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. He maintained order. He was also the proprietor of one on Second Street and a pool room,
mm-hmm.
but that's one of the few places that we could eat.
Mm-hmm.
You could go maybe to the Queen City Classic, a Queen City drugstore, pharmacy, and get maybe a ice cream sundae or milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the few restaurants that we had.
So the Queen City Pharmacy didn't do whole meals, they just did sweets?
No, they did sweets and maybe a sandwich or something.
Mm-hmm. Where was El Chico's, do you remember?
It was on McDowell Street.
Was it near the House of Prayer?
Yes, it was.
Was it... associated with the House of Prayer in any way?
None
or was
at all.
It was a separate business?
Just one
area?
Building in that bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
How big was it?
What,
the El Chico? Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was pretty big. They had a counter space, and then they had some booths. Mm-hmm. So I guess the capacity it would hold would be maybe 30, 35 people at one time, because mm-hmm. they had a counter space, and then they had the booths.
Right, right. And you said they serve soul food. And
yeah,
that's what
they serve. They were open like all day. Uh-huh. They may have closed. They may close like at night, maybe 11.
Right. So people maybe would go there after the movies too, or before the movies. And it sounds like the reason I'm asking is because I've heard a lot of people talk about El Chico's.
It was really a neighborhood thing. The people didn't, when they went to the movies, they didn't come back to dinner like
okay.
they do now.
Okay.
They
yeah.
just you go to the movies, you go home.
Right. Right.
You know, unless you know you have something else planned. But you. The area where the El Chico was and the area where the movie was too far, mm-hmm. to, and a lot of people didn't have automobiles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was really neighborhood.
Right. You had to walk a lot.
Yeah,
places,
that
right.
was in Brooklyn.
Right.
And then there was another one up on the corner, first in McDowell, mm-hmm. and that was called, I can't remember now, but that was on first in McDowell. But they sold a lot of beer. That corner had a lot of alcohol. And
oh,
when I say
see.
Alcohol, I don't mean hard stuff. I mean just beer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Alcohol was usually gotten by someone. There was an ABC store mm-hmm. up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that was. But El Chico may have sold it, but I didn't ever see it like that. I
right.
saw it as people really going there to eat.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other businesses that you can think of that
on McDowell?
Stand out? Well, anywhere in the neighborhood. We had the
beauty school on the corner mm-hmm. of First and McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
That was Woods Morgan Beauty School. That's where young ladies went to learn the beauty culture. Then there was a lot of beauty shops along there. One in particular was the Powder Puff,
mm-hmm.
and that was right diagonally across from El Chico. Okay, there were.
Do you remember who owned that one?
Yeah, a distant relative of Mrs. Hortense McKnight.
Okay.
And then, of course, there were neighborhood stores in there that were owned by white people.
Mm-hmm.
Who they did, of course, they didn't live there. They came there to operate their store.
Okay.
And they weren't always fresh
mm-hmm.
food, you
mm-hmm.
know. Most people, if the mom worked in service like mine did, the lady she worked with lived in Myers Park.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go to the A&P on her day off. I mean, on her, she worked half day Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and that's where she would go with the lady she worked with.
I see.
That's how we did that.
So but she would do all her shopping in
most
the
of it.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Right.
Most of
right.
it. Where she worked. There were some stores in the neighborhood, as I said, but sometimes they weren't very friendly to you. I guess they felt that you know, either here or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but right. They wanted the little dollar or whatever because. As I said, the food wasn't always fresh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You said this is interesting to me that there were some white business owners that came in.
Oh, they came in.
To this predominantly African American neighborhood.
Absolutely. And that's the way it was all over the city. White folks did not live in black communities.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. No. Why, do you know why they would come into the. It just seems kind of odd to me, I guess, if everything was so segregated all over the city. That they would come in. Maybe it was just a big business opportunity for them?
Yeah, it was a big business opportunity because. Very few of us had the resources to start a store.
Mm-hmm.
There were some, but very few.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's why they would come to the store.
And would you say that these white business owners were maybe less friendly than the African Americans who lived in the neighborhood?
I think it depended on his sales for the day. You know, you know, understand that maybe
right.
on the weekend he was probably a little more friendly
right.
than during the week. He was open, but, you know, somebody may come in, some kids may come in and buy candy or soda
mm-hmm.
or some bread. A family may come in and buy bread or lunch meat or
right.
whatever.
Right.
But his big day, I guess, would be Saturdays when most people would have gotten paid,
mm-hmm.
you know, so right. therefore, you know, he...
It's in a good business.
And he wasn't that much in competition with anybody because there wasn't that many stores around.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So if they came in, as a matter of fact, about 5 or 6 years ago, I met a guy. out near the airport when they were moving some houses out that way. I would just happen to be looking at houses that they were going to tear down, and just to see how the airport could acquire this land. And so we were talking to a guy, and we just happened to be talking, and he was one of the men who used to come on our part of town to have a store. Because he said he used to live over there. He had a store on 3rd Street. Well, that's where I live.
Yeah.
And then when he told me his name, you know, I said, oh, my, what a small world it is.
What was his name?
I'm not going to say, because
okay,
I may
fine.
Get the wrong name.
That's fine.
I have a name on my tip, but I can't
right.
remember.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Now, where would you go to see movies?
Well, we went to the Lincoln Theater. That was on 2nd Street. That was one of the streets on 2nd Street. I wrote about it in my article that, in addition to the pool room and the record shop and some small cafes down there, the Lincoln movie was the movie.
Right.
And it was right on 2nd Street up near Brevard, and that's where we went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would you go, it says in this editorial that you wrote for the Charlotte Observer about Brooklyn, it says that it was always crowded on the weekends and no one usually went during the week. Did you have a day on the weekend that you would always go to the movie theater, or was it just a sometimes a kind of...
Well, nobody went during the week, because during the week we were in school and we had homework.
Right.
And no one had the money to go during the week. Mm-hmm. And those who had it, a few people may have gone, but, you know, if you'd taken a date, you know, that would be movie and refreshments or whatever. But very few people went during the week. The weekend time was the time to go, maybe Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Was it a pretty big theater?
Not really.
No.
Mm-mm.
Did it just have one level, or did it
that's
have
all?
Balcony
no,
as
no,
well?
No balcony.
Yeah, just the one level.
Just one level.
And so I'm sure it would always be packed on the weekends then.
Yeah, sometimes you had to stand up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You had to stand up. Mm-hmm. And then it's not like now when you go to the movie after the movie is over, you have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
No. You could sit there all day and see the same movie
really?
Over. Yeah.
Just buy one ticket.
Just buy one ticket.
That's right.
What else you gonna do?
We should still do that. That's a great idea.
I know.
That's a great idea.
If you forget something or you miss something, you just have to come back in.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
But no, you just left.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And so when you were living on 3rd Street, what was that area of Brooklyn like? Was it mostly residential on 3rd Street?
Oh yeah, it was residential. The only businesses were on the main streets, like, you know, like 1st Street was a main, that's where the second one was on the corner, 1st and Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those businesses were up there. A lot of stores were up there. There was a pool room across the hall where the guys used to go to hang out. We didn't have the recreational areas we have now. Like the park, or you can go do this. There was a park, but there was no basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no football thing. So 1st Street was business concern too, but they had residents up there.
Mm-hmm.
On our street, there was completely residential.
Mm-hmm.
There were some streets that were just completely residential. McDowell Street was busy. But the other parts, they're just complete neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
There was one phase of 3rd Street that I lived. What's up there now? I lived at 3rd and Myers, and I guess further up. They called Black Bottom because the streets were not paved.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. That was 3rd and Myers?
No, further up. Let's say 3rd and Alexander.
Okay.
That was one part. There were other parts of the city that had streets that were not paved.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like some black stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether the name Black Bottom came from that, because there was no pavement.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that that on the street. Around the corner from where we lived, the houses, you know where the educational center is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had houses down there. But there was a creek that ran under the street that the people had to have, like, a bridge to get up to go to their house from the street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
And that's how maybe deplorable those houses were.
Right.
Yeah.
And but that wasn't part of the Black Bottom area?
No, right? The Black Bottom was part of a street.
Okay.
that just hadn't been paved. I guess it was like from 3rd and Alexander up to maybe Davidson, I'm not sure.
Right. And what were the houses in that area like in Black Bottom?
They were like, maybe, there were hardly any two-story houses.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those houses were maybe what we call a ranch, but we just call them just one story.
Right.
One story.
Right.
There were a lot of duplexes up there.
Way.
Okay. In some areas, they had the shotgun houses. That's where houses on one level.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you could look through the front to the back door.
Mm-hmm.
Just straight through.
Just rooms piled on top of each other.
They were just straight. One room led to the next room that led to the next room.
Right. Okay. Right.
So, but most of them were like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very few shotguns, but there were a lot of single houses.
Mm-hmm.
And duplexes.
Mm-hmm. I remember in some of the things that I've read about Brooklyn and urban renewal, you know, a lot of these city councilmen said that one of the problems with Brooklyn was that there wasn't a very high level of home ownership.
No.
That a lot of people rented,
absolutely,
especially from white landlords who were probably,
sure,
absentee landlords. Does that kind of...
Well, they had very few homeowners because people didn't have the resources to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, if a landlord is renting a house, that's his financial gain.
Right.
You understand? He doesn't want to sell. Who's he going to sell it to? Most people couldn't afford to buy it.
Right.
I don't even know the value of the houses. But I lived in an apartment,
mm-hmm,
where we live. But most of the single houses, and we rented, no one really had the resources to, I guess, buy a house unless you were in a professional field.
Mm-hmm.
Like your mom or dad was a school teacher or something in another capacity,
sure,
where you would have those funds for the payments, although you paid rent,
mm-hmm,
you know, but that was his gain,
mm-hmm,
you know, but very few homeowners, very few. And they were probably, mm-hmm, retired teachers or whatever, or ministers or whatever may have lived there.
Mm-hmm. The apartment complex that you lived on 3rd Street was a pretty large apartment complex.
We had two bedrooms,
mm-hmm,
and a bath and a kitchen, living room. They were that's the norm.
Right. And it wasn't, of course, like it is now with big neighborhoods of apartments. But there were maybe...
No, there was just two in the neighborhood. One, two. It was three right there together where I lived.
Okay.
Three different buildings. Mm-hmm. And there were four apartments in each building.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you moved away from the Brooklyn neighborhood in 1948, right?
Have
that date right?
Mm-mm. I moved
back. You back in 1948. I'm sorry about,
mm-hmm,
that. And then you stayed until 1955, did you say?
I stayed until 1955.
Okay. Once you left in 1955, did you still have family that lived in Brooklyn?
No.
No?
No.
Were you aware when you left of the city's plans for urban renewal?
No, I wasn't aware. I only saw that when I came back.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you think when you came back?
I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
But I was devastated because I always dreamed of going back to the high school that I left and see maybe some of my old teachers and just reminisce,
right,
about how it was when I went there, the doors we came in, the cafeteria, the auditorium, the whatever. But no, I was really devastated. I was really sad, and it seemed as though they had taken away part of my history. That took away part of my past. That I couldn't, even now I can't go and reflect on anything. They left some schools, but they just destroyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was either probably, I'm sure it was for political and financial gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know progress must go. But that's, I understand they had promised to build another one and they haven't.
Yeah. Another school, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They said the metro school was supposed to be that, but that's not the way they did that either.
Right.
They can say anything until they get voted in, and then when they get voted in, they have damnesia.
Mm-hmm.
Not amnesia.
Right. Damnesia. That's
right.
Two different things.
Two different things.
Right.
So that's how that went.
Right. Well, what do you think that they should have done differently?
Kept their word and built it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Although they, if they were... And then you look at it from this point. If they were going to have urban renewal, and all the parents, I mean, all the families would have gone, what was the point in keeping the school?
Right.
Who would have come?
Right.
Would they have made that one of the schools that you can bus in? But you can't be that way either, because busing is not only for people to come in, it's also for the people that's there. You can't just move them out and bring them. That's exchange.
Mm-hmm.
That's called exchange. But busing in means that some kids are bused from one neighborhood to the other, and then some of those kids are bused to their neighborhood. You can't remove all of them. So if you tore down all the houses or have all the people to go, who would come?
Right.
You know, but seemingly they could have put it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, you read now where schools are in such bad repair that, hey, maybe they could have built one, maybe in another neighborhood. But then the people had gone different spots, different places. Some went to Biddleville, some went to Greer Heights, some went to Cherry, some went to other parts of the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know, but I think they should have kept their word.
What was the feeling in the community when it did get dispersed like that? I mean, do you think that people had the idea that they would be able to keep that, not the physical neighborhood, but the social community together?
No, once they had to leave, they had to leave. Every, you know, once they said that what they were going to do, and I'm sure it had been in the papers, that, you know, this was going to come forth, that their houses would be destroyed, they had to find wherever they were going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they had no choice, no say-so. It's just a matter of you must move.
Right. I'm going to switch gears here for a minute. I know that you were actually born in the Cherry neighborhood,
uh-huh.
which was across the creek from Brooklyn. And you would have to cross the swinging bridge to come over from Cherry into Brooklyn.
You really didn't have to. That was an option. You could
right.
have gone all the way around up 4th Street.
I see.
That was just an option.
But when you did come across the bridge, if you chose to do that, am I right that you would be in the part of Brooklyn that was called Blue Heaven?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's right on the outskirts
right.
of between Cherry and Brooklyn. It was
okay.
an area called Blue Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was just a small community out from... You see, Brooklyn had... Like, they had wards,
mm-hmm.
like First Ward, Second Ward, and Third Ward.
Mm-hmm.
That was a whole scope of it. And then they had the outer parts, like Blue Heaven. Yeah, that was just an area. There was a park down there, just as you left Cherry to get before you got to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
That was Blue Heaven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know why it was called Blue Heaven?
No, I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
No, I never knew.
I haven't been able to find that out.
Now, if you find out, you call me up
I'll
and
let
you let me know.
I did hear a rumor from somebody that there was a laundry down there,
mm-hmm.
and that they would release blue dye or a blue chemical
oh, is that
into
right?
the stream. But nobody's been able to
really?
To tell me if that's right.
I've never known it.
Yeah.
I've never known it.
Okay. So I've actually got two more questions for you.
All right.
And then, because I know that I'm probably keeping you a little bit longer
no, that's
than
fine.
You thought. But my first question, going back to Second Ward, when Dawn interviewed Daisy Stroud, Mrs. Stroud remembered that they would lock the gates at Second Ward.
Oh, yeah.
Did they still do that when you were there?
Mm-hmm. They had them when she was there.
Yeah.
And
that was
I've
one
often
the first thing she remembered.
I've
about
often
it, yeah.
wondered, did they lock it to keep us in or to keep people out?
She said the same thing, didn't she?
You know, that's been a very mysterious question.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they? Was this to secure us
mm-hmm.
from people coming in, or was to make sure we stayed in?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I remember one time I was hungry, and I didn't have lunch money, and I lived two blocks down the street. Well, I just decided that I was just going to go home and make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Naturally, being the junior that I was, I couldn't sit up and eat peanut butter and jelly.
Right, exactly.
So if I went home and ate it and brushed my teeth, who would have known?
Nobody would know. Right.
Well, I went back in, and who did I see but the principal?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going? I'm going... Class, where you been? I went home. Why? I said, because I was hungry. And he listened to me, and he felt compassionate, and he said, the next time, you can either borrow money, go to the cafeteria, or you just let somebody in office know. Mm-hmm. And that's concern.
Yeah.
That's concern, you know.
Because it sounds like he was looking out for
him. Yeah, he was really looking out for him. He understood. I was honest and open, and I just told him I was hungry.
Right.
I didn't have any money for any cafeteria food. I couldn't stand in the line, you know. And, hey, I knew we had peanut butter and jelly home, you know, why not?
So maybe it was a little bit of both. Maybe they were trying to keep people in, but maybe they were also looking out for your
safety. That's sometimes that's how I can visualize it. You know, they may have been doing us a favor because just like you said, people said Brooklyn was a bad area.
Right.
It was not.
Right.
But that fence was up there when I first got there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you know, we were the first one with the gym, the gymnasium,
which is still there.
Yes, mm-hmm. But it's for a different purpose now, I think. But they used to have, that's where we played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did we play there, when they had the tournaments, that's where they would go.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson C. Smith used to come over there and use our gym,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was really like not only Second Ward's gym, it was a community gym. You know, they used to have proms there,
mm-hmm.
where Charlotte had their prom there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. They would have proms there. Somebody would get in there and dress it up, and we'd have proms there.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, they would also rent it out to Johnson C. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'd have tournaments where kids would come from different counties to play in this tournament.
Like sports tournaments?
Yeah, mm-hmm. basketball.
Okay.
Basketball tournaments.
The dances, you mentioned the prom.
Yeah.
And I had somebody else tell me they would actually hold dances there once a week. At Second Ward, is that true?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
It may have been after I left.
Okay.
I don't remember after that. Who would hold them? The school?
The school. They would. I think they said that they would be on. It was either on Wednesdays or Saturdays. They also mentioned going to dances at the Y, which I think may have been on Wednesdays.
No, I remember going to the Y when I was there because we didn't. They didn't let the gym. I think they would have to have had to have made a profit
mm-hmm.
by having the gym because, first of all, you have your utilities, you have
sure.
to pay somebody for somebody to just to be there with you,
mm-hmm.
you know. So to I don't recall that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. My last question is: are there any, I guess, characters that you remember from Brooklyn? Is there anybody that stands out as that you've got really fond memories of?
From Brooklyn, the area itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can remember, I have memories of this person. There was a little guy named Keg House.
Okay.
And Keg House was we would call him a special person today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had any mental problems or anything like that. I think he was just one who would just stand out. Like, you know, if he wanted to come to a game and there was a line out there, he didn't stand in the line. He'd just come and go and open the door and go in. And no one would say anything to him about
just
it.
Just the way he was.
That's how he was,
right.
you know. He and, I guess, persons you remember, I remember the Queen City pharmacist, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a little... I was grown before I really knew. I think they sold prescriptions, but they used to say Queen City Pharmacists, but then I said, it's not. Then they changed to Queen City Sundries.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what I know the guy who owned it was not a pharmacist,
right.
but they used his name.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that and the highlight of the House of Prayer convocation every year in September, early September. That and just people you would just see, who you would just remember, but that's about all.
What do you remember about convocation every year?
Well, I knew it was a big thing. It was the House of Prayers event. They would have their big parade. They would go down to their House of Prayer and have service for a week. They did a big baptismal thing on Sundays, the Sunday of. They had people coming from all over the Carolinas and maybe further
mm-hmm.
to attend this event.
Wow.
And then the person in charge, whom they called, at one time they called him Daddy Grace, but then they started calling, then he died, and there was another person who took his place. I think his name was Bishop Madison or something. But that was a big event in early September,
mm-hmm.
around that time. As a matter of fact, the house... his house was down the corner from me and across the street from the El Chico.
Was it a pretty big house?
Oh yes. And it's very colorful, red, white, and blue.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Just like the, they've got the House of Prairie from Beatty's Ford.
Yeah.
That's painted red, white, and blue.
That, like they like those colors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's synonymous with them.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think that the, do you think there's a legacy for the Brooklyn community? I mean, do you think that, what do you think people should remember the most?
One of the things I think they would remember in my bracket would be Second Ward School, mm-hmm. the gymnasium, the neighborhood in which they grew up. Mm-hmm. There was one library that's in my story, around the corner on Second Street, around the corner from the movie. We had one librarian, Mrs. Westbrook, mm-hmm. and I asked permission to use her name in my story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she still lives in the Brooklyn area.
You know, one of our classmates actually interviewed Miss Westbrook.
Oh, is that right?
Just recently.
Yeah, she's a wonderful woman. Yeah. She's a wonderful woman.
Do you mind if I ask you about the library a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
Keep going here.
Okay. Yeah. Keep on. It's bringing memories back to me. I might start crying in a minute.
You start remembering everything, yeah. And then we got all these other things to talk about.
Yeah.
Tell me again where the library was.
The library was around on Brevard Street.
Okay.
It was around the corner from the Lincoln Theater. Mm-hmm. You see, all of these things were in our neighborhood, you know. Like, the there was another drugstore around the corner called the Watkins Building. And it was a father and son, they were dentists. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of new back in early 50 on 2nd Street. I mean, on Brevard Street. And across 2nd going down there was the, not only was it the library, next door to that was our YWCA. Okay. And it was called the Phyllis Wheatley YWCA. Mm-hmm. I think they would have ladies come in there sometimes because maybe to study or whatever. We didn't have access to hotels and stuff like you do now, mm-hmm. you know. But Mrs. Westbrook had the library, and she would suggest books to you, you know, if you're looking for this. She was just, like, involved, just like the teachers were. Mm-hmm. She wanted us to know. She wanted us to read. She wanted us to understand. Mm-hmm. She was just like a big sister, mm-hmm. I guess you would call her. Mm-hmm. She's a very dear lady.
Was she the only librarian in the library?
I don't know whether she had help or not. Mm-hmm. I really don't. She may have had some students to help her. Sure. I'm not sure. But she was the main person.
And would a lot of kids from the neighborhood go to the library?
Maybe they did homework or homework assignments. See, we didn't have computers and stuff.
Right.
And everybody didn't have access to a typewriter. Mm-hmm. But they just had books. Mm-hmm. First of all, you could go and study in peace. Mm-hmm. You know, it was quiet there. It wasn't like being at home where we didn't have a whole lot of TV. So, you know, where you would be interrupted by something. If you had a serious paper to write, that's where you went. Mm-hmm.
I know that library was one of the Carnegie libraries, right? That money was given by Andrew Carnegie, I think, to build a library. If I'm remembering correctly, I think that's where the money came from, because they had to, since they weren't allowing African Americans in the public library in Charlotte, they had to build a library that they could say, you know, it is separate but equal, right?
Okay, that's fine.
I'm
going to talk to you about that equal part.
Sure, talk to me. Go ahead.
It was separate. Now, I'm not going to say it was equal, just like the school system.
I believe it.
They were separate.
Nothing was.
But
right?
I'll be John Brown if it was equal.
Right.
Not when I'm having to use regular books from somebody else. There's no equality there.
Absolutely.
No. They tell you that to pacify.
Right.
But in order to satisfy, you have to make your words true. And that was not true. That was the furthest thing from the truth you've ever heard.
And I think in everything that, you know, that they did, they said were separate but equal, of course,
That was their cop-out.
Right.
That was to keep you quiet.
Right.
But then somebody came along and thought, like I did, no, it's not equal.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, but that's not equal.
Right.
If it's so equal, then why don't the kids from Cherry go to Central?
Right.
You know, if you're going if you're being fair to your statement, no. No, the library was just there, and we never had a chance to see how equal it was, because we couldn't go to theirs to check it out.
Yeah, so there was no comparison.
Absolutely,
right.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, was the library on Brevard Street, was it a large library?
No.
Or was it fairly small?
It was kind of small, I guess, according to the people they thought would visit.
Mm-hmm. Was it just one room?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that they had, I mean, a lot of books, like, do you remember, I mean, I know you were younger, And you probably weren't reading all the books in the library, but...
It's hard to say. I never knew their inventory of what they had, or, you know, I never knew. I knew that having come from Maryland, that was much smaller than the ones I knew about up there.
Sure.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Because up there we had, like, a children's section, an adult section. I remember being a teenager, and I wanted one from the adult section because I could read very well, and I understood a lot, but I wanted to get that. We had to have, you had to have a white card to get that book, but my card was just for the younger people.
Right. Yeah. Was there also a library at the high school?
Yeah.
There was.
There was a library. Mm-hmm. Miss Penny Perry was our librarian.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she had assistants mm-hmm. to help her in the library. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miss Penny Perry. Okay. Yeah, we had one. I think all schools had libraries, the high schools anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you had to do research in there and stuff.
Well, it's just great, I think, that, you know, there were so many different ways to access the information that you really needed to be successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you wanted to talk about?
No. Will this be edited?
The interview will be archived just like it is.
Okay.
If there's anything that you want to leave out before it gets put online, we absolutely can.
Okay. Would you let me hear it first?
Yeah, I'll send you a copy of the of the interview.
So. All right.
But do you think we've covered everything I think. And of course, you know, if you think of other things that you want to talk about, we'll be happy to come back. And
I would like to say that along McDowell Street up mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. where the hotels are, those were family homes.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote in my article about where things are now, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I said, what an environmental change.
Oh,
and it has been a change. I remember where it used to be Adams Mark right there on the corner. Mm-hmm. That used to be one of those stores, I think, that I talked about, where people would come in and open a store. And it was also a black business where they used to have a lot of shoe shops, mm-hmm. shoe shine parlors.
On Stonewall there, where they...
On Stonewall and right, Stonewall and McDowell, mm-hmm. they used to be there, and then further down, then an ice house because everybody didn't have a refrigerator.
Right.
So I remember, you know, you could go and get ice to put. They had ice boxes, mm-hmm. and you buy a piece of ice and put it in that container where the ice is supposed to be. Of course, you had to put your drain there because it's going to melt and it has to run out.
So you would put the ice on the top?
You put the ice, there was in a receptacle, you know, uh-huh. like a box, and uh-huh. they had the two parts, the part for the ice at the top, and it would keep the food cold in
so
the bottom. Separated. Absolutely.
So the food
didn't get all absolutely. Absolutely. No, right. We didn't have freezers. We have a lot of modern stuff that kids should understand, and well, they can't say they're being more appreciative, but a long time ago, people lived quite primitively. Inasmuch as we didn't have naturally the things they have today, you know, like I remember the washboard when we did laundry. You know, you did that on the scrub board, washing board they called it. And then people who did have washers and dryers, they had a wringer on the washing machine. You put it through, and it just, you know, clothes would go through.
And it was mechanical. You didn't have to
absolutely
just put it in there, and it was
and
like
it just slide
belt.
Through. That's yeah. right. Yeah. That's right. So
would you, when you did the laundry, if you didn't have a washer and dryer, would you still do it at your house? Or would you go, was there like
no, we didn't have laundromats then mm-hmm. when I was going to school. Mm-hmm. You went to you had to go to the laundry, you did them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would send stuff to the laundry. Mm-hmm. But who could afford it?
Yeah.
You know, the wages were meager.
Sure.
You know, but it's just something you look forward to doing. You know, like people used to cook all day,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Now they have the microwave.
It's a different way of living.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Progress, mm-hmm. you know, so...
Sometimes it's good. Sometimes
it's good. Sometimes it's good.
Right. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to
sure.
us today.
Sure.
I really enjoyed it, and I think we've gotten a lot of great information for the project.
Okay. I'm glad to have helped.
Thank you so much.